It's season 4, episode 6 of the Town Ed podcast. It's deadlock for Dundalk in Oriel Park after a 0-0 with Waterford in a frustrating match where we probably had the majority of the chances. And, you know, Cammy Elliott, Galley, probably at the heart of two of the big moments of that match. I did say no one would have heard me. It wouldn't be the Town Ed unless we had a couple of technical issues getting here tonight. One with me being on mute, and two, we did have Steph. Now we don't have Steph. Yeah. it's one of them.
That was the hold up. Yeah.
It's been one of those nights.
And it's a home game. It's not even like we're traveling from Cork to get the podcast.
I've been in Dublin for the past two matches and been on the M50, been able to get on and haven't muted myself. Tonight I managed to. Galley, what's your overall thoughts on that one tonight?
I'm torn between, you know, we haven't scored again, and that's always going to be a glaring problem. We said this last week. You know, as long as that remains zero on our side, people are going to be absolutely livid every time. But what I got from tonight was probably not so much. Maybe from 70 minutes, 60 minutes on, there was a little bit of bite in us. There's a little bit of we might actually grab a goal here, and unfortunately we didn't. But I think the performance, I actually think we were probably slightly the better team overall. You know, we talk about individuals and chances created, and, well, chance created for Waterford, more of our goalkeeper making saves. But this is what I was saying last week and the week before. We can handle nil-nil results, although probably not nil-nil, maybe, I suppose, probably draw, maybe it's a score draw. We're probably delighted with tonight's result, but it's a performance. And I think there was a little bit more about us tonight, not much. I'm not going to say, like, you know, Stevie's kind of, you know, he's up the game now and we're back on track. We're absolutely not back on track. There's some glaring problems, but I thought, you know, without going individuals, I thought, like, you know, we can talk about Annalcy tonight. I thought Louis was excellent tonight. Johnson's come in as well. I thought about
Johnson was really, the outstanding player for me tonight.
Really, really good. Really strong performances, you know, pass the ball, both feet. I don't think I've seen a Dundalk team pass more with both feet. It's only something I noticed tonight. Maybe it's an obvious thing, but, you know, both players pass with both feet, really comfortable. You know, but I you know, there's issues obviously up top. We're not scoring again. Gullen's come off injured. I don't know what the injury's like. But yeah, I'm happy enough with probably not so much the result. It's the performance. There's a little bit more in the second half. So much, the first half's pretty boring, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Albeit one or two decent kind of passing routines, but boring enough first 45.
I think for the first 45, you're probably thinking that Sam Duran chance that he had, you know, the ball's cut into him, he's right in on the keeper, and he kind of puts it high at the keeper. You probably needed to hit that one low and bend it in towards the other corner to really challenge the keeper, but it was a good chance. For me, as I said, Zach Johnson was just a real standout candidate tonight. I actually had to come home and whatever was wrong with Steph's laptop, I thought it's the perfect opportunity just to double check what age he is. 19. Like he a lot of composure for a 19-year-old, I felt, there tonight. But I think for me, the fact that we didn't cough up the big chance for the opposition tonight was good, because we've seen that over the past few. Maybe it was the opposition as well. I don't know, but like we didn't seem to give them that big 1-2 chances. Like we probably gave Pats that one big chance that they took last weekend. So to not really be coughing up that and look a bit more, I know you said, you know, a score draw just for something there, but I felt we just needed to have a clean sheet. Really, maybe it's the keeper in me. I was just like, we need a clean sheet here is the most important thing.
What people go to automatically is because we haven't scored. I think, you know, obviously we don't want to concede three and score three either, but, you know, I think people are fixated on the fact that we haven't scored, and it'll just continue for the next couple of weeks until we start hitting the ball at the back end. But like you say, we haven't coughed up much. I mean, Monroe's pulled off a crack and save, but kind of a bounce header from Armand on the first half. But, you know, and he's, I don't know if it's the second half, then he's on a 1-on-1. That's actually the first half as well. But, you know, with that said, you know, I think I call it a boring first half. It just seemed very flat. And I don't know if it's the crowd or... Right, notice there was an audible difference, a massive difference in the second half, and I think that's just as the game went on. I think we probably played for about 5 minutes. We were robbed of probably 2 or 3 minutes of injury time. It was only four.
Yeah, minutes. 4 minutes was strange considering it was two big injuries. Like,
we wouldn't talk about the ref at some stage, but I think if we'd have played for another 3 or 4 minutes, we probably would have grabbed something. But look, we haven't, and you know, we just woke back to this crack. We haven't scored. It's one in, are we one in 10, 1 and 9. Well, I don't know what the stat was last week, but it's one from open play anyway. That's all we have at the minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, performance-wise, I thought we probably have more individual performance to talk about tonight than we've had over the last couple of weeks as well. So, you know, the keeper, two centre-backs. I thought Scott High was excellent going forward tonight as well, albeit, you know, Gullen hasn't run off him too well. But I thought there was some really good performance tonight. Not outstanding by any means, but with the exception of maybe the centre-backs. But yeah, look, it's there's a bit there. And, you know, we were sitting here, we said kind of, you know, 1st of April, that's kind of your nice little bucket of couple of games coming up. And, you know, if we can, and I know it's a real cliche, but if we can get that bite for the last 15, 17 minutes, if that we can continue that for maybe 25, 30 minutes of a game, you know, even that alone over 90,
yeah,
might see us through a couple of games over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, I think, you know, it's something to think about. I don't think they're out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's going to be, I've seen comments tonight, I wouldn't be as drastic as we were a couple of weeks ago, but I mean, there is something there, something definitely that Steph, Stephen can cling to. It probably doesn't have the pod you sent off, which I actually missed because I was drinking a cup of coffee.
Did you miss it?
I missed it. I happened to put my coffee down and missed the whole incident.
So they wanted to take a quick troll and Padge copped it very quickly, jumped out of his seat in the box with the elbow towards the player to stop him. Like it was funny because I could see Stephen O'Donnell was kind of looking the other way at the time, and he turned around.
I did say early, and I did say on our chat about 15-20 minutes in, I did say this game either needs a goal or a fight. And you know, Padge obviously, you know, got the memo and you know the start of it was very flat first half. But I think overall, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm happy overall with it. You know, I mean, yes, we haven't scored, but it could have been a lot worse. I mean, Waterford were, you know, they were a very good team going forward, but we just didn't let them play tonight. I think we'd be happy enough overall.
Yeah, I think when you look at the overall game, like I say, it was probably, you know, it lacked something, kind of killer instinct in the first half, and it kind of just kind of rolled on, and the fans were very loud and passionate at the start, and then the longer it went on, they kind of dipped slightly as the entertainment dipped, I felt, on the pitch. In the second half, I think it probably saw our bench had more of an impact. You know, as I said, Camielli, we'll talk about him later on, but you know, he definitely had a big difference. And we've said it before, and it's obviously just a fitness thing, but when Mahan comes on, there's something about him.
Yeah.
He wants to hug the touch line. He wants to, you know, be involved in everything. And I think down that side with Archie Davis, they have a better connection together.
Yep.
And for it, like, I think there's something raw with McGuckin as well. I just think he's a little chaotic at times. He, you know, which can be good in some games. You need that bit of chaos, and it's welcome. And other times you just need someone like Mahan who knows how to play that position. And I think McGuckin's probably want him more central than he is out that side. And I think when, you know, we brought on Ryan O'Kane and Mahan went on the other side, then it kind of balanced us out a lot more. Interesting, in the post-match interviews, Stephen said that they have a number of games planned over the international break. Because he feels that there's a lot more players need minutes in them, and you're probably thinking, you know, Mahan is one of those players that we could definitely do it, and if we get him up to match fitness, because he was knocking around in pre-season, then all of a sudden he was out, and you'd say Koen Oosterbrink is probably another player just needs minutes right now, and if we had these back, I did see Paul Doyle was doing a bit of a session then later on with John Mountney and stuff like that. So you think, when you think of the players like Yarmis and your players there who could make an impact if they were fully fit.
That's it. And like, it's, you know, even just take John Mountney there. Like, I mean, I know people, you know, John suffered with his injuries, but when he's on it, I mean, you know, what a player to have. To, you know, he might not be starting every week, but what a player to have coming off the bench. But Robbie Mahan, like you say, you can only assume it's a fitness thing for him not starting games. Look, maybe Stevie fancies him as a, you know, come on and run, you know, run a tired fullback. Maybe what McGuckin is supposed to do in the first kind of 60, 70 minutes, run him tired, and then he gets on. But very light, like Darren says, very lively. Like, Lively's putting it lively. I think it's some of his touch. So his first touch, him and Scott High could be excellent out there. I actually thought Scott High didn't find him once or twice a little bit too late. He got the pass off them. But I think them two, if you see that kind of triangling from the right, you've got Davis, Scott Hay running up and, you know, box to box, and then Mahan out right could be really, really something to watch during the season. I actually thought Bradshaw played. I wouldn't be, you know, I kind of didn't slate him, but I think the jury's out whether he's a ball playing centre half or he's a CDM. I actually thought he's done really well tonight. You know, again,
yeah, I think it was one of his stronger games there tonight. Yeah,
probably his best since probably the Rovers match. And I know he's got hard headed in the Rovers match, but I think, you know, like the big thing is, I've seen somebody mention the defence as well. It's that kind of thing, you know, getting the centre back partnership right. I know you have Andy Boyle would obviously be your starting one. All, you know, we've had Mayo over the last couple of weeks, but them boys done themselves no harm tonight whatsoever. You know, even once or twice, Zach John lost the ball, the ball probably went past him, but pace wise, absolutely, it honestly pulls off an unbelievable tackle.
Yeah, it was perfectly timed.
65 minutes into the game, just in the second half, absolutely incredible. Like, he's in on goal, and he, you know, Monroe's obviously stopped too early on, but you know, I don't think they're going to miss a third, and it's a fantastic tackle. But yeah, look, yeah, really strong. I was worried.
Colin Mullen, just agreeing with you there, you know, just saying Anthony was outstanding tonight. His best game by far for us. Never put a foot wrong. And captain tonight as well.
Yeah, it was a few.
So he had our last-ditch tackles and looked very assured. Him and Johnson were rock solid. It's just funny, just to go through, and you know, we will get to it later on, but obviously we will have our usual Man of the Match competition. So keep your Man of the Match suggestions come in with us, and we will pick a winner based on ours later on. But I'm going to say this is going a bit of a landslide in one way, because if we go back up to Darren's post, you know, Davison Johnson's Man of the Match again, you know, another one there for Zach Johnson. Johnson, very impressive Man of the Match again. You know, I think it's going to show us tonight where, you know, Monroe and Johnson, very good again. Frank in there, Johnson Man of the Match again, you know, so it looks tonight. And you know, we questioned during the Pats match, you know, can we get a balance right there? What way, you know, who are we going to play on the left? You know, it's Muller again, but he kind of seemed a lot more assured again. Even though it's not his natural position, but that's, you know, I think maybe the system, the pitch and everything else, it's maybe we're better off playing him there, that he knows and understands how to play on it. Yeah. But
you know, we've had a few comments about Muller, and you know, but again, he's come in, he's possibly quite rightly, or definitely in Stevie's mind, maybe, you know, Jamie's not got off to the greatest start. He could be holding down a left back position now. But again, it could be maybe a change of partnership at centre back. Louis in there with him, and it's not Andy. I don't know. But yeah, look comfortable again. We never really looked like, I mean, for all the ball Waterford had, you know, we never really looked too shaky at the back. I mean, I didn't even mention, Frank's mentioned, somebody else mentioned there, like Archie Davis.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention him yet.
Yeah, he just said he was immense tonight.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, and
His run, he picked it up from inside his own half in the second half of the game. And then suddenly he ended up in the opposition box. And he was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. And even someone like, to have the option of Durant starting as well and coming on, all be taken off, but nearly got himself booked on the sideline when that penalty wasn't a penalty. But, you know, again, coming in, cutting in off the side, taking chances, taking shots. Hayden Muller's actually had a shot from coming in the same kind of route. And I'd say, If it doesn't hit the defender on the head, it probably definitely goes towards the goal. Maybe might get a corner, maybe hits the post. But you know, I think it's definitely a positive game. It's albeit, look, we'll go back to the little, but you know, I could we have played better? Absolutely. Are we missing something up front? 100%. There's just something.
Yeah, something we're going to have a chat about later on. Just more coming in here on Zach Johnson. So Emma Doonan in there as well. You know, Zach Johnson and Ansley were excellent. Scott High and Archie Davis also getting a mention there. Good point there as well from Mark Harlan. Just, you know, Louis Ansley, he was very vocal tonight. And I noticed it soon as a couple of the subs had come in at that stage. And I think he was looking for them to kind of hit that level a little bit higher on the pitch, and he was just barking orders. Yeah. Obviously, you know, he gets what it means to be captain of the club as well, but you could see him, he just did not want that tempo to drop. He did not want that level of commitment to drop either. Actually, I think it was Ryan O'Kane had just come on. He'd run over to the far side. The ball dropped in front of him, and it kind of was about 2 yards away. And Louis Ansley gave out to him for not running, for that commitment, for that 2 yards. It just gave that player an extra bit of time to get on the ball. And Louis Ansley was not happy at all. But, yeah, you know, that's what you want to hear from.
Yeah, and like you said, that the captain's armband, that will add to that. That gives him that little bit of more, you know, maybe he's not as vocal. I definitely noticed the vocality. He had been vocal before, but the fact that maybe got Boyle beside him, or it's maybe Benson ahead of him midfield, you know, them kind of, you know, probably more experienced players at the club. But I definitely think the armband, we kind of raised a few eyebrows at it, but you know, it definitely suited him. You know, like, I think he 100%, even his heading of a ball, you know, watching the flight of a ball, the bounce of a ball, which he missed early on when he started at Dundalk, he was missing all that type of stuff. And yeah, I just thought, like, I know we're talking about Zach John, but I think Louis played outstanding tonight.
Yeah, I know there's a lot Jane just saying now, Ansley man of the match. Absolutely. Darren Mean just wondering, you know, could you accommodate Davis higher up the pitch to bring him in?
Well,
if you haven't got Robbie Mann, that might be.
That's it. Like, I think he's an option there. Absolutely. I mean, his like, he's a perfect fullback. I mean, going forward, you that's the way fullbacks are. You got to be strong, but yeah, absolutely. Going forward, tempo, pace of the game. There's probably not a quicker player on the pitch. He's probably quicker than Durant. You know, when we put them up the pace, he's as quick as anybody going. And I think he's like I said at the start of the season, first podcast, I'm surprised we kept him. Really, like, that was like the brand new signing, having him. You know, I know we had him, but I'm surprised nobody came in to buy him or to take him on. But yeah, a quality player, absolutely. Like, he's 8, 9 out of 10 every game.
Yeah. So speaking of impactful substitutes, we have one here tonight due to a seriously dodgy laptop from Stephen McKevitt. Welcome to the field, Dundalk Democrats, Niall Newbury. Niall, how are you, pal?
How you doing, Chris? Back by unpopular demand.
Not a bit. Not a bit, pal.
Podcast.
But Paddy Power's whole thing now about the super sub, pal. So you're stepping into the breaches on this. Niall, your thoughts on the game tonight? You know, we've mentioned the frustration of not being able to take the 3 points tonight, but I don't know if you can see from comments coming in, but you know, the partnership tonight in defence, in particular the two central defenders, it's getting a lot of praise for tonight. You know, Zach Johnson for a 19-year-old, he was super tonight. And Louis Ansley taking the captain's armband, we're just saying he was very, very vocal tonight. Probably won every single heading duel that he had tonight. So that's a big plus and something to take forward at least.
Yeah, I think the big plus probably was the defensive pairing. I mean, I spoke to Zach Johnson and Louis Ansley just a short while ago, actually. I got both of them tonight. So, I mean, it was probably... I mean, Louis Ansley, captain. I don't think he's ever captained Dundalk before. Zach Johnson, we haven't seen him yet. You know, I think he was our final signing of the 11, but we haven't actually seen him in action yet, even off the bench. So you're not really sure what to expect when you see the team sheet this evening. But, I mean, I thought young Johnson done really well. Ansley, as you said there, Chris, you know, was winning duels, he's winning headers. You know, defensively, we were a lot more sound. Even fullback-wise, you know, Archie Davies, you know, Hayden Muller done the simple things correctly. Davies was very good again tonight, I thought. I mean, we done the simple things right at the back, which hasn't been... obviously the norm, to put it mildly, in recent weeks. But I mean, that was the one good thing, I suppose, from tonight was the clean sheet, the first clean sheet of the season. The only problem with that is, you know, effectively you've still drawn the match, and you know, you're still bottom of the league with 2 points and, you know, one goal and none from open play, 9 conceded. So it's still pretty grim reading, despite the points and slightly improved showing.
Yeah, look, Gally, we said we'll get back and we'll have a chat about it now. But obviously, you know, the lack of goals is a real concern for us. We talk about big chances for Sam Durant tonight. He'd won the curl wide in the first half, and the other one he hit straight at the keeper. He looked lively and stuff when he came on, but just we're not taking those chances. Gullin then goes down in post-match. Niall, he probably said the same to yourselves, but you know, Stephen O'Donnell said there was a twisted ankle possibly when he fell over, and that's why they had to take him off. That leaves us with a possible conundrum. Maybe the break is just at the right time, Gary, but we, you know, we have to find a way to score some goals, haven't we?
Yeah, I there's just something seems to be like, I take for instance, we go back to the Tally game. I thought Gullen was outstanding. Boys talking, you'd see people online, you know, a back and forth, you know, top goal scorer of the season. And he looks like an absolute player. There just seems to be just something a little bit, and maybe it's just the luck we're having. He has everything. I just think for running in behind defenders, I don't think that's the way to play. Across into the box, poacher in the box, that's what he looks like to me. He definitely has the pace, definitely has the ability to kind of track back like a Pat Hooban. But yeah, you're just missing that killer instinct. I think, like you said earlier, Chris, McGuckin could be an option. I actually think Robbie Mahon could be an option as well. If we're not going to get him maybe, you know, out in the wing all the time, somebody to kind of run a centre-half ragged. But I just hope it doesn't become a thing, you know, where we're sitting here in maybe May and we're struggling for goals. It's not so much struggling for goals, it's nobody scoring. So Dundalk have been well-versed in scoring goals from midfield, centre-backs up for headers. Like, how many goals, Andy Boyle, Brian Garton, I know we're going back, but how many goals have they scored over the years?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that's not happening. So it's not even the strikers now, it's a team we're just not scoring. Durant has a chance tonight. We have a Cammy's chance that just seemed to go in slow motion. You know, I don't know what. And then he's hit it right at him. It's a perfect height for goalkeeper. It's a great save all the same, but yeah, it's a worrying as a group. It's not so much the strikers. It's as a group, we're just not hitting the back of the net. But it's like anything else. I think Stephen Kenny's team, the second season, might have been through a spell like this. And then I think we battled Sligo 4 or 5 nil at Oriel Park one night. So I think when we do hit it right, we will give someone a bit of a pace, and hopefully. But yeah, it's worrying as a group. It's not so much the strikers, because, you know, I think there's enough in there to get in and around the strike and help out scoring. Why Scott High could be a player that can play a little bit higher up the top, Benson as well. But yeah, as a group, I think we have to start, you know, like, even I'm probably going on now a little bit just further into the game, but even if you take the last injury time, 5 minutes, whatever it was, 4 minutes, we had 2 free kicks into the box. Nothing came of them. Like, you could tell what was going to happen on the second one. It was the same free kick as the first one. And that's where you kind of have to take those chances, like up from the back, get the headers on. But, you know, it's worrying as a group that we're not scoring. We don't mind who scores. But yeah, as a whole, it's something that we don't want it to affect as we go on. Now, the good thing is we haven't conceded either, like Niall says. But yeah, it's not great. It's not, you want to be, especially going into the games we've got coming up. Now, look, we might fix that against the Marcus next week, but like, I fancy a goal against them myself.
Jesus. I fucking seen you play that, I hope.
way up my pay grade, though.
Niall, like, you're really looking for someone to just stick their hands up. And I think, you know, it's something that Stephen was saying tonight, is he's really looking for players to say, I want that jersey and I'm going to hold on to it. Like, Camielli has that big chance tonight. And that would have been a good shot for him then to, you know, stake claim to the starting striker's jersey. But, you know, we just don't have someone who has that killer instinct at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, Jamie Gullen, obviously, with the exception of getting that free kick, that brilliant free kick in the first night of the season against Shamrock Rovers and Tala. I mean, we were all kind of, like, I was very impressed with Jamie Gullen that night, personally, from every aspect of his play, not just the goal-scoring side of it. Cameron Elliott, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, had a chance tonight. I mean, you don't want to pick on players, but like, a return of one goal in an entire season, and, you know, coming into what, 5 games into this one, it's not good reading. I know, I appreciate he's come off the bench in a lot of those matches, but like, you know, Kieran McGuckin was playing out wide the last couple of games. I mean, I'd like to see, I know he's an orthodox centre forward, I'd like to see him maybe, obviously, especially with Gullen, you know, now seemingly injured after rolling his ankle. You would like to see maybe McGuckin get a chance. I mean, I just saw in one of the comments there, I think Owen Kenny was...
Yeah,
was
Frank superb. Just had it in, yeah.
Yeah, it was superb in pre-season. I mean, he got a goal against Drogheda in the Leinster Senior Cup / Malone Cup. I mean...
Sponsored by the Town End Podcast.
Sponsored by the Town End Podcast.
Maybe that's the problem.
shameless self-promotion here. But I think Owen Kenny, I mean, 18 years of age, raw talent, still has a lot to learn. But I mean, I think he's a player who you'd like to see maybe a bit more of. I'm sort of surprised that he hasn't been in more matchday squads, I suppose, at least, at the very least, as an option. maybe in a game like tonight, where you could maybe throw him on for the last five and see what happens. But because he, you know, he has that raw sort of that impetuosity, I suppose, of not having that fear, and young players tend to bring. You'd like to see a bit more of him, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Stephen has his reasons. He has his own team. He wants to pick his own players. But I just think goals, we're struggling. Like, it's probably at the risk of most obvious comment of the year, but we're struggling for goals, and it's kind of hard to see at the moment where they're coming from. Although I thought Sam Durand offered a real creative outlet for us tonight. I think Dan Pope was on last week, and he was talking, you know, about maybe he's a player who should be starting. I think I would concur with that. I've been saying that to a lot of people in recent weeks. He got the nod tonight. I think he done quite well, you know, still maybe taking maybe one too many touches at times. But, you know, cutting inside, you know, he was certainly our most creative outlet, I think, going forward tonight. And a player who can certainly, you know, you feel he can make things happen when he gets the ball to his feet. So those are probably some of the positives you're looking at tonight. But goals, we need a goal. And I think that's just, you know, points is one thing, but give us a goal.
And you can see as the game went on, Niall, you could see, you know, like the crowd were getting behind it, but it was almost like the crowd know what's going on. You know, they know there's just something not 100%, but they were urging them on. It was a different type of kind of aerial roar tonight, you know, the last kind of probably 20 minutes maybe, but they knew that they were struggling, and they're struggling for maybe a bit of confidence, a bit of motivation. But again, you know, we're coming off a game, you know, all that confidence, you know, like something, it's got to pay off at some stage, but unfortunately we're just not. It just doesn't seem to be clicking. Like, we don't know what's happened to Gullen with his ankle, but I think we have the potential to score a lot of goals. It's just, like you say, Sam Durant there tonight, probably on another day, he scores twice. You know, like, he's keeping Ryan O'Kane quiet on the bench.
Yeah.
O'Kane comes on. You know, you've also got the fullbacks getting forward as well. So I do think there's potential there. There's just something just missing there. And I'm just hoping it's a bit of confidence. That's all I'm just, you know, it's weighing on them. It's weighing them down now after a couple of weeks. You've only scored once.
It's got to be tough. Yeah, like it probably is. Confidence is a big part of it, Andrew. I mean, like I think if you look at some of the recent performances, I mean, like the standalone games, like the standalone result tonight is not a disastrous result for argument's sake. Losing 1-0 in Inchicore against St. Pat's, who finished, you know, top three last season, is not a disastrous result. It's when you're marrying that with the Sligo performance, and you're marrying that with the maybe the Galway. Like, I suppose in some respects, even the Galway game, you can sort of tactically see how you could lose that game, in one respect. But it's just when you're marrying that with that Sligo performance, I think that's what's really got us into a bit of a sticky patch here. And confidence-wise, you know, that's going to knock any team for six. And he's made changes. I mean, he's made quite a few changes in recent weeks to his team. He hasn't had a settled team. But he probably
is that part of the issue, though, Niall, that he's still uncertain. We're what, five games in or whatever we are now, and he's still unsure of what.
I know we mentioned it a few times on the podcast last season. I mean, like, this is Stephen's third season in charge, and I mean, I appreciate there's been lots of ins and outs for, you know, a myriad of different reasons with different individual players, but ultimately you're into your second or so your third season now, and you have no clue really who your best 11 are. So I mean, and I said this, I'm like a broken record at this point, you know, it starts with your back line, your goalkeeper, your back four. That's where any successful team, that continuity is, any good successful team's built on that continuity at the back. You know, again, we've got another back four tonight. It worked.
Yeah,
you'll hopefully maybe go with the same back four against Shells in a fortnight, and you probably should based on tonight. I mean, I thought that was the one thing we actually looked a lot more, you know, sound in that department than we have. You know, like, it's been quite comical, actually. Like, the Sligo game was comical. I mean, like, some of the goals we give away in that were you know, it was quite bizarre. I think the third one in particular, where everyone just kind of stops. Andy Boyle makes a good tackle, a reasonably good tackle, and then everybody, just, including Boyle, just kind of stops, and it's just rolled into the net, really. I mean, those, and like O'Donnell said this last week in Inchicore to the media. I mean, it was like, I think the phrase he used was just rubbish goals. We're giving away rubbish.
That's right.
Really. At least we've actually nullified that tonight. Waterford, in fairness, had a couple of chances. I think Ross Munro, to his credit, you know, a bit of a patchy pre-season. Shelby got the nod for the league opener against Shamrock Rovers. But I think, in fairness to Ross Munro, since he's come back, I mean, he made like the goal last week in Inchicore. He actually makes a good save. And obviously the rebound from Calvin, and there's not much he can do about that.
No.
tonight he's made two or three very decent saves that have kept the game scoreless. So
yeah,
if only for that, we could be sitting here talking about another defeat. You know what I mean? But it's at the other end where we need to show, like, we've shored it up tonight at the back and in the goalkeeping department. It's the other end now where we need to start seeing a bit more. You know, I just don't know. You've only got what you have in terms of playing personnel. But I mean, I'm no football manager, to put it mildly, but I mean, there's different things we can try. Robbie Mahon is a player I think we need to see. I haven't seen him start a game yet. He looks bright. He last week in Inchicore, when Durant and Mahon came on, the two boys linked up very well. They're two creative players. You'd like to see Robbie Mahon get a bit more game time now. Sam Durant obviously has done himself no harm in terms of keeping his place in the team. And I'd like to see maybe Owen Kenny, maybe Kieran McGuckin get a nod up front going forward. So we need to be a bit more sort of, I know I'm probably contradicting myself here in one sense, saying that we haven't got a settled team and then telling them to make a scatter of changes.
Thank God you said it, because I was going
to. I know, anything. Like, Owen Kenny would have that, you know, that Ryan O'Kane impact that nobody knew what to expect. Ryan O'Kane had that impact a couple of seasons ago as well. And that's what you're thinking. I know Owen's gone down to Wexford and done well in there, but people still wouldn't know what to deal with. They still don't know what kind of player he's like. So, you know, you would have that kind of, you know, young gun, I suppose. That's the best way to put it. The unknown. Yeah. And that's what Ryan O'Kane brought. And, you know, I think in certain times, I think it's right to kind of get him in. You know, I think consider, and it's not just because we're lacking goals. I think to have that unknown option, and McGuckin, I suppose, is one of those as well. But yeah, I think, you know, we're obviously all biased because he's Prince Kenny. He's the son of the famous king. But I do think there's something of an unknown element there that could just get the fans back. Like Ryan O'Kane, like Tiernan Mulvenna, you know, these players that came down the lane, you know, from Dundalk, that kind of, you know, I think just, yeah, I think you might need something like that if, and it's, you know, we're hoping not a big doesn't happen after the next game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think what he could also add, Andrew, is just that sort of fearlessness. I mean, like, it's obviously, like you mentioned, confidence there. I mean, like, a player that age, I mean, you saw him in pre-season yourself. You know, you had the number 9 shirt there against Drogheda in the, you know, in the Town End Cup against Drogheda. But I think he just has that sort of, you know, a player of that age is going to have that sort of, that fearlessness. And I think that's something that we're kind of lacking. We just need to take that, we need to take risks in the opposing team's half. We need to be a bit more sort of in your face. And I think someone, a young lad like that might be the answer. Like, he might not be either. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, Kieran McGuckin obviously playing out in the wide. He's by trade a centre forward. He's come from the Championship in England. He's obviously played at a good level. He's off at the Northern Ireland under 21s now next week. Mm-hmm. You're probably suspecting that he'll get the nod against Shelbourne, you would think, as a centre forward, assuming Jamie Gullen would still be out.
Yeah.
We don't know how serious that injury is. We probably won't know until the next 48 hours or so how, you know, serious that injury actually is to Jamie Gullen. But I mean, like, I just don't know. I think, just going back to what we were saying there a while ago, I just think having it settled, you know, we just don't really know. We don't even know our best formation, do you know what I mean? Let alone our best 11. And I think that's, as Chris just said there, I mean, like, that's probably a huge part of the problem. And that's, you know, we probably shouldn't be here, you know, two point something years into the Stephen O'Donnell reign, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, Gally, I suppose if there's any good coming out of starting the podcast this late, is we seem to be tapping into the Chinese market. Who would have known? So we've Chinese listeners tonight on YouTube. So ni hao to everyone in China. Gally, probably big moments in that match swung on penalty appeals for both teams. How did you see both of those chances?
Oh, I don't even care about Waterford. I tell you, the Waterford one, I thought it was a penalty. I haven't seen the replay of either one. I did actually think that Dave Mackey was sitting in front of me, and he looked like he didn't think it was a penalty. I thought it was. I was like delighted that we didn't get it. Now our one, I've seen it once. I haven't seen the replay. I haven't seen an FA, but I was nearly three rows down. I jumped that high off my chair. Like, the crowd went absolutely mental. Like, it looked like an absolute stonewall penalty. I don't know what else he would have seen. I'm surprised the whole bench weren't booked and sent off, because Podge got sent. I was surprised. Like, that's what I was saying about Durant. Durant was right up at this fourth official's face. Like, I'd have to see it again. I don't know. But to me, on the day, Darren, it looked like an absolute stonewall penalty. As like, I just couldn't believe he didn't give it. I couldn't believe it. He nearly claimed him. I just couldn't go. I couldn't understand it. Now look, maybe I need to see it again. Niall might have a different, but I can't believe he didn't get it. I actually thought the ref wasn't great. The fourth official was shocking. If anybody, you should get a camera on the fourth official tonight. He was like going off at nothing. Like absolute crazy stuff. Like, I don't know. Look, I wouldn't do their job. I appreciate it. Look, at the refs are great. You know, the
Padge probably got him set off, right? Like, yeah, you know, no, probably yeah, just kind of went, I need to be on.
No, I just thought there was some kind of, no, for me, it's a stonewall. I actually thought theirs was a penalty. I like that. It looked like a dive. I could see why he didn't give it. Mm. But if the dive, you book him. Do you know what I mean? So you can't have it both ways. But to me, it actually looked like two penalties. But ours, 100%. I'd have to see it again. But I'm going, what I saw looked like stonewall. Niall's probably going to say, no, he dives. But I haven't seen it again. But at the time, I couldn't believe it. I never heard the crowd in Orrery Park. I haven't heard them like that in a long, long time. They were absolutely livid.
Niall, what do you think?
Look, you know, when I was up in the stand, and when the incident happened, you know, you aren't really supposed to show your colours in the stand. Like, and in the press area, I should say. And I did sort of, you know, wave my arms a wee bit as if to say, like, how is this not a penalty? So I thought, I did think it was a stonewall penalty on first viewing. I had the benefit of, you know, Gavin McLaughlin showed myself and the waiting media a video of a different angle from sort of like the touchline. And it does look like the referee might have made the right call on this one from that angle, you know, I have to say. But
I don't say that, Neil.
But
Davey Max said no on comms.
But what I will say is, one way or the other, I'm not really sure how the referee's coming to the conclusion of booking Cameron Ellis. I don't think it's a dive either way. I mean, if whether it's a penalty or not is, you know, probably at this point subjective at this stage. But I mean, I don't think it's a booking. Now, I've seen two different angles of it. Obviously, the angle from the stand, the LOI TV angle, and the angle that Gavin McLaughlin showed us. But I mean,
you could work for VAR.
I couldn't work with VAR personally. I probably should have been tonight. Look, with that amount of yeah. But, I mean, I still can't really come to a conclusion because it does look like a penalty on the other angle. You know, that kind of way. So, I mean, but one way or the other, I from all three angles, I don't know how he's come to the conclusion that he's booked Cameron Elliott. I mean, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I think the referee, in fairness, and as you mentioned, the fourth official, they were very sort of trigger happy tonight, and I think this kind of, you know, there was a lot of needless kind of messing in the game, and which probably didn't need it. But I mean, for me, I'm going to veer on the side of no penalty on this one, on the town end VAR system. But I think, but also not a booking for Cammy Elliott either.
Definitely not. Absurd,
yeah. I think maybe possibly the Waterford penalty may have resulted in the booking because he probably should have booked the Waterford as well. If he's going to be at that crack, maybe that might have resulted in Cammy Elliott. Yeah.
I think the Waterford one just seemed to be, you know, the defender just got in the way of the player as the ball came in, and then he hit the back of the defender and hit the ground with his arms on the air looking for it. Yeah. I thought if either of them could have been a penalty, I think ours was far more a penalty. If you're going to give one, that's the one you're given. But from where we were on the gantry, it's hard to see. You know, I did hear, you know, Cammy was talking to Brian Gartland when we were doing the interviews at the end, and he was actually asking, was it a penalty, lads? Because he said he felt the player come in on him on his side, but he tried to stand up at that, and then he felt his feet and he went over. So he said, what was it that got me?
Well, like, Chris, even if you do go down, and like it's part of the game nowadays. Like, I mean, if players are told to go down when they feel a touch. I mean, like, if you're given a booking for that, I mean, every single player in the Premier League in England, in the German
League, like, the fact that there was contact
every week. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean,
the fact that Cammy said there was contact.
Yeah, and in fairness to the fullback, it does. I've seen the replay there. I've had it up. I have a double screen here, lads. Very fancy.
Cheney Mac, you're in Stockley Park.
He hasn't seen Cammy coming in behind him. But I mean, still, I agree. Like, you know, there is contact there. Look, it's probably not a stonewall. If we could just rewind and edit that, it's probably not a stonewall as a call, but I definitely think it's a penalty.
There's a few edits in the light show, I can tell you, Gally, don't worry.
You've seen them given, as I say. You've seen them given.
You've seen them given. That's always the on-the-fence way of putting it, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's it. And look, Niall, this can also be one of those things of, you know, if it's not for bad luck, you'd have no luck sometimes. But it's a bit tough that we badly need a goal and we don't get a decision like that again. And you know, we've seen us give away silly things previously to this, and you like to think that these all even out by the end of the season, but we could have done with that penalty tonight and a chance to take all 3 points. You see, that's probably the real killing part tonight.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's complaining, like whether it's a penalty or not. I don't think any of us are complaining if it's given. Like, I mean, I actually at the time in live play, I fully expected the referee Kevin O'Sullivan to point at the spot. I was absolutely thunderstruck when he pointed the other way and booked Cameron Elliott, as was pretty much everybody else in the main stand.
Yeah, and like, so, I think actually a lot of people even missed the booking because they were that irate. I think most people actually didn't even realize he was booked.
So as Chris said, some of these will go for you, some of them won't. Yeah, you'd like to think it'll even itself out. I mean, look, as you can see, Waterford could argue they might have had one as well at the other end earlier in the game. I mean, it's just like a draw is probably a fair result in the end in one respect. I think we shaded it on chances, of course, but I mean, did we do enough attacking wise to actually, like, how many good chances did we create tonight? Do you know what I mean? Would be the real question, and probably not too many, you know. I think a draw is probably a fair enough result. I think we did shade it. You know, a 1-0, 2-1 would have been maybe okay, but I mean, it's just, you're just looking at it now. I mean, it's kind of like the real thing for Dundalk now is where do we, obviously we've got the benefit of international break now. I know we got St Mochtas in the Leinster Senior Cup, but realistically our next proper game is against, you know, Shelburne in 2 weeks' time, who are flying at the minute. You know, they won again tonight in Chicor, 2-1. They're 16 points. You know, they're pulling away at the top at the moment, and Damien Duff hasn't been very... They're just giants, Gally. They're just giants. You know, and... So I mean, like, they're flying at the moment, and I mean, I said it a few weeks ago. I mean, they wouldn't be a bad shout to actually win the league this season, just the way they're set up. They're not a pretty team to watch. But the reality is, our next three fixtures, I believe, now I'm open to correction on this because I haven't actually double checked it, but I think it's next league fixtures is Shelburne away, Drogheda in the Loud Derby, I think, is it?
In Oriel,
on the bank holiday, and then Derry City away. Like, that's
correct.
Three seriously tough games.
And that's what we were saying this a couple of weeks. We were saying this maybe, was it the Galway game, Chris? Or was it? No, it wasn't. That was Dane Massey. It was the whatever what we played after Galway.
Sligo.
Was it? Yeah, that cracker of a game. And we were saying, like, you know, the 1st of April could be a real, that kind of window of games could be a real, you know, it could be looking back at this and saying, like, I don't think we'll be looking back at the nice result in 6 months saying, oh, do you remember this game? It wasn't those type. But I think over the next few weeks, this could be a real challenging kind of time for everybody.
Absolutely, Andrew. I mean, like, if Drogheda win, you know, touch wood, they don't. But if Drogheda win against Sligo tomorrow, you know, we're sort of rooted a wee bit. I know it's very early days and it's probably not the time to majorly panic at this point after 5-6 matches. But I mean, you could be rooted to the bottom and you've got three seriously tough fixtures. I mean, the Loud Derby could take on a whole new meaning this season if Drogheda were to lose tomorrow as well, you know, kind of way. So it could be a 6-pointer Loud Derby this season if we're not careful. And I mean, it's just, we just need that win. I don't know where it's going to come from. It could come from the most unlikely of sources. We could go to Talca Park and win 3-0 for all I know, but I'm just saying we need to get points on the board, and that's ultimately what's going to make or break your season. You know, we probably, if we're sitting here tonight and we're celebrating, with the greatest respect to Waterford, you know, they're newly promoted, and if we're celebrating like a 0-0 draw at home to Waterford, if we're celebrating a 1-0 defeat to St Pat's last week, it probably is more of a cause of greater concern, because that maybe tells us where we are then. Do you know what I mean? If we're actually taking those moral victories against teams we probably should be beating on paper, in the case of Waterford tonight. So, I mean, that's what, I mean, we just need to get the confidence back. We need, like, at the back, we shored it up tonight. That was one thing we got right. But we need to get it right at the other end now. We need to start scoring goals. And my concern is I don't really see where they're coming from at the minute. So let's see what happens. I mean, it could be strap yourself in this season. I don't see us getting relegated personally. I think we will have enough to stay in the division. But I don't see us, at this moment in time at least, I don't see us pushing for top three either. So, I mean, it's where do you go, you know?
Gally, like if we have a quick look at the table, hopefully it'll kick in. There we go. Look at that. I'm back, baby. The 2 points after five games, it's tough because you're looking that everyone else has had that win. Everyone else is at least scoring goals. We're not doing that. You know, we've a bad hit there of -8 on the goal difference too. When you're looking down, you're seeing Pat's Drogheda right above us. And, you know, Drogheda we have coming up. I know, I understand that. But Pat's we've just lost to. Shamrock Rovers picked up their first win tonight. And, you know, they could easily, with players coming back, kick on. And then Sligo, you know, is 4 points ahead of that then again. Like you're, I suppose Niall just mentioned it. You're looking at that Sligo Rovers Drogheda game now tomorrow, and you're now kind of thinking you don't want anyone to pull away from you. You don't want Drogheda to win because you know then you're well cut adrift. Your 4 points cut adrift. You want Sligo to win, but then that closes a gap to the teams above you. Should you ever pick up your win, you know. So it's a damn do you do and damn do you don't moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and like. John Flanagan, like Flano's come in with Flano is the voice of reason on this podcast normally, himself and Mark Carroll and they'll. But, you know, who do you see finishing below us? Like that, like when you put it like that, I mean,
that's the problem, isn't it?
You've got maybe Drogheda, and I think Drogheda are actually another team that are very good. I actually think they're really good. I just think that, again, they haven't got off to the greatest of starts. But like we keep saying, we don't have a UCD this year, and that's not being disrespectful. We don't have a Finn Harps. You know, we don't have these teams that, you know, everybody now should be in the Premier Division. These teams should be in, you know, these are Premier Division clubs. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, like Niall says, you know, if we're talking of Drogheda, if Drogheda will go and win tomorrow night and we do, and Pat's beat us, not Pat, Shelburne, you know, we're in serious danger we cut adrift there. You know, like it is, you know, and I know we're only half a dozen, seven games in at the end of the month there, but yeah, look, I don't think you'd like to be thinking like that, but it you know, you nearly don't want to mark this game. You didn't like to play another Premier Division game next year, like instead of worrying about the mark this game. But yeah, it's a real worry.
I think, yeah.
Now, having Waterford and Galway so far up, though, as well, newly promoted teams, says a lot about the strength, doesn't it?
That doesn't surprise me either, guys. I mean, I think we all kind of predicted, I think, that we saw Galway up close and personal in the Cup last season and Waterford the season prior. I mean, I think. You know, both those teams coming up, we always felt were going to be a lot more competitive than the teams that they replaced, UCD and Cork City in this regard. Like Andrew just said there, I mean, it was always a concern for a lot of teams, not just Dundalk, for a lot of clubs in that league. You look at like the Bows and Sligos and Drogheda and teams like that. The big concern was that, you know, you look at the league in the last couple of seasons, you had Cork, you know, last season, UCD, Finn Harps, the season before that. Longford Town the season before that. Like, let's face it, with the greatest respect to those teams, they were cannon fodder. You know what I mean? To be fair. And everyone was just beating those teams and they were keeping maybe other teams, you know, above the power pit. Like, you know, so I think the big concern is that we don't have that this year. You can't really confidently say, look at that table and say, like, who's going to finish 10th or who's going to finish 9th. You can't confidently say it. I mean, Bows were one of the teams who were kind of thinking might get sucked down now, but they've got a big win tonight against Derry City.
Yeah, you know, massive.
Okay, new manager bounce and all that stuff, I get that. But, I mean, it's points on the board is ultimately what counts. And Waterford, Galway, absolutely do not see them getting relegated. Nope. Sligo, who I thought would be a lot, maybe have less points than they have at this moment, have 6 at the minute. So, you know, Shamrock Rovers and Pats, you know, you'd obviously expect those two teams to push away and finish in the upper echelons of the league by the time it finishes. So you're looking at there and it's like, where does it leave you? I mean, could it be a battle to stay up for the two loud clubs?
Like, it looks like.
It could be. Like, it could be. But this is going to be, like, last season was ridiculous in terms of, you know, teams taking points off each other. This year, it's going to be tenfold. It's going to be like the wacky races this year, I think, because it's just going to be, and event, like Shelburne, like, pulling away at the top there just shows that. I mean, and... That shouldn't even majorly surprise us. I just think that's the nature of the League of Ireland in the last couple of seasons, that it's going to be like Waterford and Galway in the top four there. I mean, it's just, you know, it's going to be strap yourselves in kind of territory, I think, lads.
Yeah, it just tells you, you know, you need to have your house in order. You need to have everything right. Or, you know, the teams coming up, Gally, you know, they're... were hit this year, like Nigel said, with full-time professional teams arriving up here, you know, with good backing behind them as well. And this is the problem, that if you don't have your house in order, you can find yourself sucked into this very, very easily.
Yeah, and they're not, they're well-supported clubs, they're well-funded, you know, they're like Galway, you know, are a Premier Division club. I mean, you know, they mightn't have been for the last couple of years, Waterford as well. And the signings they've made as well, like Darragh Lee, he's gone there. You forget, I forgot Darragh Lee, he played for Waterford, and I seen him going congratulating everybody after the game. Paul Hammond, Galway got some cracking players. You know, Conor McCormick's one of the best midfielders, CDMs in the league, in the country. Yeah. Never mind for First Division, like, well fit to play most Premier Division teams.
He was superb at Oriel.
Really good.
And like John Coffey, look, himself and Ollie Hogan play a certain way, but you know what you're going to get, and they're a tough team, tough to break down. We found it out the hard way twice in the last 8 months. But you know, there was absolutely no chance them teams were going to come up and waste that opportunity to go down. They spent well, they've invested well, they've got good backing. And like, in fairness, now on paper, so do we. But have we used it well enough? We don't know. We'll probably need another. Like, I mean, we look at Bowes. Bowes are now 7 points ahead of us, and they're already on a new manager, and they're looking for one. So that's worrying, you know. Like, we're the lowest in the league at the minute. I know Colin Mullen had put up a comment about, you know.
I think we'll get to that one after, yeah.
But, you know, I think over the next couple of weeks, I think the next, I honestly think first of all, I think that game in Louth, I think we're on a really tough few weeks. I think it's a vital few weeks now coming up over Easter. And it's not even weeks, they're only talking 2 weeks away. I think it's vital that we get some points on the board. Because if we don't, I think we're looking at...
We can have a chat about where we kind of go on this international break and with those fixtures ahead. I think just we'll wrap up for the match here tonight, which are man of the match. Niall, I'll go to you first. Who stood out for you tonight?
I think there was, in Dundalk's, like, in fairness, there was a few performances tonight that were quite good. I mean, obviously I've mentioned Sam Durant. Sam Durant played really well. I thought real creative outlet. You know, Scott High, you know, done simple things okayish in midfield, you know, would have been superb. Archie Davis has, you know, had a rough couple of weeks of late, you know, probably a product of the environment more than anything else, but was a lot better tonight. But I just think the two centre halves. I know Mark has Louis Ansley there, who was superb, but I'm gonna go for Zach Johnson as man of the match tonight. I just thought you know, for a debut in difficult circumstances, you know, it was a very sort of subdued atmosphere. You felt like things could get very toxic if we conceded a goal. I thought he handled himself really, really well. You know, considering he hadn't played alongside Louis Ansley before and hadn't played in a lily white shirt before. So for me, it's a Zach Johnson man of the match for me tonight.
Gally?
Yeah, I agree with everything Niall said. You know, debut, you know, he's come in as well. I think he was one of the last. Like, was he the last signing we made? He was signing like literally 2 days
ago. I believe he was, yeah. I'm open to correction, but I think he was,
I think he was. But I'm going for his partner in crime. I think Louis was outstanding tonight. Don't get me wrong, Zach was brilliant, but I just felt it was a game Louis needed because the jury was out on him, and it's been out on him for a while, whether he's, you know, he should be playing left-back, centre-back. He got the captain's armband tonight. I think he rose, so I think it suits him.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
But there's not a lot between it, but just because I just felt he was just that little bit of cup, read the game really well. Again, the vocality of him. Yeah, I'm not by much, but I'm going to go for Louis on it. So it's down to you, Chris. Apologies. But I had Louis before we started. But yeah, no, I
okay. Still, If I do a quick add up, right, I'd think there's 8 for Zach Johnson, and I think there's about 6 for Louis Ansley, and then maybe another 4 for Archie Davis tonight.
Yeah, a couple of Davis,
so I'm not surprised they're all in the back four. I wish someone just should have put in for Hayden Muller there just to balance us out, so we had everybody in it. Actually, you know, and to be fair, Monroe got one or two wee nods being a lot more solid.
Yeah, I think the half went as good as the way Monroe. Because after the first half, when I got the half time, I assumed Monroe. I was already thinking of the pizza. I think Monroe was going to get it, but then the two boys were just fantastic.
Right now, lads, for me, and I mentioned it very early as well tonight, Gally, that, you know, just Zach Johnson coming in only 19 and just so assured, so solid in that defense tonight. He just kind of really stood out for me. probably been coached along by Louis, I would say, tonight, probably in the ear of him a fair bit. So I'm going to go with the majority on this tonight. that sums it all up then. Right, let me pick someone here at random. Can I stop right here? Johnny Lynch is our pizza winner tonight. So congratulations, Johnny. Agreeing with myself and Niall on the pod tonight, and for Zach Johnson on your man of the match. So give Tony's Pizzeria and I'll shout there and get your 15-inch pizza courtesy of the podcast here. And thanks for commenting in. Thanks, everybody. Loads of comments again tonight, especially for Man of the Match. So, and a lot more positive tonight as well, which makes the show a lot easier. So, Kelly, look, you touched on it there already. Was Colin Mullen, yeah, there it is, just kind of put in that comment earlier on. So, does tonight give Stephen O'Donnell another few weeks in this? Because we kind of said you probably have to get to the international break and see, assess things where it is. We don't know what sort of a person Brian Zivkov is. Is he someone who wants to change? Is he happy with what's there? We don't know. So we thought this is definitely a good opportunity probably for them to assess and see where we are. It's interesting. Niall, you probably heard, you know, like there is games planned behind closed doors, you would assume, probably for the club as well, to get people. So you know, as far as Stephen O'Donnell's concerned, he's making plans during this break as well. So from your own point of view, Gally, I'll come to you first, because I suppose you kind of touched on it. What position did you see enough there tonight that, you know, Stephen is steering this into the right direction? We're making ourselves harder to beat, or was it opposition tonight? What do you think?
There was something in it tonight. There was something definitely in the last 20 minutes. I'm not saying the first, if you just watched the first half and left, you'd probably think there'd be no manager at the end of 90 minutes because of what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. But there was just something in the crowd tonight that kind of wanted it to happen. You know, they were kind of behind him, everybody, the staff. You know, they knew they were obviously struggling. Like I mentioned, confidence, all that, you know, the mental side of it. And I think he would have got a few weeks anyway, regardless, if we'd have been a bet tonight. I think he'd get a few weeks anyway. I don't think we'd be looking at it just yet. But what I said a couple of weeks ago was, I think if we haven't picked up points now, Shells, we've got Drogheda Derby, especially where we are now. It'd be different if we were, you know, second and Drogheda were fifth or sixth. You know, the fact that we're now kind of down, languishing down there, if we're beaten by them, the Derry game then afterwards, like Niall says,
then you wouldn't have thought Bose would beat them. So
no, and that's the thing, like, you know, it's going to be such a tough league. But Niall pointed out at the very start of this podcast, he's on his third season now, so you know, you got to be looking at it. And unfortunately, as much as we love the man and, you know, legend at the club, you have to base it on what's happening. Like, I honestly think everybody wants it to work for him. There's people calling for him tonight, even after things. You see it all over social media. It's all over Facebook. But as fans, we want him to succeed. But at the same time, you can only give him so much rope. And I think he'll get another couple of weeks, absolutely. And I think the hope is that he turns it around. Mm-hmm. I just think that where we are at the minute, the lack of goals, you know, we can enjoy that performance tonight, I suppose, 0-0. The last 20 minutes are excellent, but we won't be able to do that next week. Like, we can't go, right, go to Shells, 20 minutes we're good, let's go again. It's not going to work forever. I honestly think in a month's time we'll know either way whether he's going to be there for the end of the season or not, because I think it's a very difficult couple of games coming up. Mm-hmm. But at the minute, yeah, I saw enough tonight in the last 20 minutes. I honestly think if we had played for another 5 minutes, if we hadn't got the proper injury time, I think we'd have scored. Like, the injury time should have been about 6 or 7 minutes.
Oh yeah, that was bizarre.
Myself and
Barry Landy was beside me, and we were calculating ourselves, like, and we were saying seven, possibly eight injuries at a time. And when he put four, crazy. I absolutely could not believe when he put four minutes. I was like, where has he lost the other 4 or 5 minutes?
But even with subs, I don't think it'd be four.
Well, I was going to say, we must have at least four subs tonight, did we?
Yeah.
That's meant to be.
A couple of stoppages injury-wise as well. I mean, I don't know. Look, the officials and the refereeing tonight is probably a You could probably base a whole podcast on that alone, I'd say, maybe.
Yeah. No, but, yeah. Don't send Darmin off with referees, for God's sake. We'll be here all night. How are you, Darren? Niall, your thoughts just on Stephen O'Donnell and just the you know, the feeling around. What are you hearing?
Yeah, look, there's a few things on that. I mean, like, Stephen, look, I'm with Andrew here. Like, we all want Stephen O'Donnell to succeed. That's, we're Dundalk supporters, and we're all, you know, mm-hmm. Stephen O'Donnell's a legend of Dundalk FC as well. So we all want this to work. And we all wanted it to work, but you can't avoid the facts as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I was on this podcast last season. I mean, I felt when there was calls for maybe to go at the end of last season, I was kind of, you know, dissenting that, saying like, okay, it was a bit indifferent last year, but I felt that he'd overachieved so much in his first season that he probably had enough credit in the bank to go for a third year. We're in the third season now, and, you know, to say it's been uninspiring is probably a bit of an understatement, I'd say. You know, now it's early doors. I appreciate it's early doors. But you also can't ignore the fact that Brian Ainscough has already made plenty of changes in the background and in the background of the club. So I think, you know, he also made it very clear at the beginning of in his first press conference that the short-term objective was to qualify for Europe. And when he was asked, when he was prompted by another journalist in that press conference, was the budget there to achieve that? He was very prompt in his, like, yes, it's the budget's there, and we will have a playing squad, budget-wise, that will be able to compete and qualify for Europe. He said he trusts Stephen O'Donnell and Brian Gartland to run the football side of things, so I think there's no issues there. But the results in show have not been good, and the performances have not been good. And I think, you know, it is going to get to a point where it will have to be a situation of stick or twist here. Do you know what I mean? Because when you look at the fixtures that are coming up, and you look at, you know, the nature of the League of Ireland this year, is, you know, look, we don't really know what Brian Ainscough's really thinking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't know what his thinking behind it is. There's also the subplot of, you know, Bohemians trying to tempt a certain former manager to their club. I mean, is that going? I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Would that potentially accelerate a decision from Brian Ainscough? I don't really know. I don't want to see Stephen O'Donnell lose his job. I mean, I know Stefan was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. You know, he was saying that he was one of his biggest cheerleaders, but even he was kind of, you know, turning. I mean, I've been on the same boat for most of this, but
yeah.
I mean, I do think also, but I also appreciate for a lot of supporters, it does get to a point of like, when can you stop defending it? And I think, like, you can't defend the result against Sligo. You can't defend, you know, that performance and some of the performances of late. But also, like, I mean, like, you can't, like, I just don't know. I mean, like, I really don't know. It's like, you don't want to talk about a man, you know, losing his job, but I mean,
no.
Where do you draw the line? I mean, because ultimately the club's survival and the club's, you know, success is paramount. And I mean, like, I don't know. I hope Stephen can turn it around. But I think I agree with Andy. It's a big, 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 big few weeks ahead now, because I don't know. It's a tough one.
It is one of them, and anybody watching is probably thinking these boys can't make out the win. But you're kind of torn. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like it's Trevor Anderson. You know, it's not like it's, you know, we're not going down that road. It's one of those, you're just in that predicament whether a change would be good or not. At the minute, I would say no. I think another couple of weeks, another couple of games, and we'll see how we go. There was just something about tonight. Maybe it was just me. I don't know. But
I think the three fixtures, we mentioned, you know, there are two, like Shelburne and Derry at the top end of the league, and Drogheda just above us on the table at the moment. So it's the best of both worlds, really. So it's a real good barometer to see if we can pull ourselves out of the brown stuff, basically. And I think maybe that would be, like if we lose to Shelburne, or say we get thumped by Shelburne in 2 weeks' time, I think it might start to look a bit ominous. But in fairness to Stephen, I mean, I he's very self-aware. Like, he's not shied away from, he's been asked about this, and even again, it was brought up tonight. I mean, he's very aware of fans, you know, and respects the supporters' right to vent in this way. I mean, he understands the nature of the business.
You know, he understands that managers are going to be under scrutiny. That's just part of the job, and he knows that. I mean, he's not daft. Like, he knows if results aren't going our way, Dundalk's a big football club in this country. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny. And there has been a lot of scrutiny, rightly or wrongly. I mean, I think in recent times, probably rightly. Maybe last season and the season before, probably wrongly, in my view. But I think now of late, I think a lot of people are starting to look at it now and are starting to say, like, where do you stop defending? Like, and where, because we need to see some points on the board. And as I said, even a bleeding goal would put us in better form at the moment. And that, and like the fact that we're kind of sitting here, not saying we are, but we're nearly delighted with a draw against Waterford.
Yeah.
And, you know, happy we only lost 1-0 to Pats last week in Inchicore. To me, there are concerns, like, of something that's much bigger to come. And I mean, look, I hope Stephen can turn it around, but I think it will get to a point, obviously, as it does with any manager in any league, in any club, it will obviously get to a point where a decision will have to be made from Mr. Ainscough. So let's just wait and see.
Yeah, but Gally, I think the fact there's not a massive outstanding candidate that we're all talking about as well says it all. You know, as I said, Niall has mentioned already, there's been mentions of Stephen Kenny, but does he want to get back into management yet? We don't know. Does he want to come back into League of Ireland management? That's even another question altogether, you know, from where he's been in international management. So you're kind of looking at, you know, is there someone domestically who you think you can turn this around? I personally don't think there's an outstanding candidate that's jumping out at me saying, you know, you could cash in now and you know, you could get this guy and so go for it. So
the funny thing is, if there was another manager in place and this was happening, the man you'd ring is Stephen O'Donnell. You know, so that's, you know, it's one of those things where you want to give him every opportunity to get this right. And I understand they've signed new players, but everybody has. You know, everybody signed new players. And, you know, we signed a lot of new players. We probably signed players maybe, you know, I couldn't help but think tonight, imagine Sen and Mullen playing in that team. You know, what would the difference be in the middle of the park? And that's no disrespect to Bradshaw, but maybe players are shying because other players didn't stick around like they thought they were going to be. But, you know, it can't be easy. But he knows more than anybody. If he's worn that jersey, he's captained it. You know, he's been unbelievable. He knows more than anybody, you know, what it takes to be successful at that club. And, you know, like I say, if it wasn't him in the job now, it's him you'd go knocking for. So, you know, we have to give him the benefit of it. But like Niall says, there's only so long, you know, and Ainscough is no dose. You know, he's a businessman. He's a shrewd operator. That's why he has it. But yeah, look, next couple of weeks, you know, we could hopefully see a nice turn of events in the next couple of weeks, because although we're down the bottom, there's a few people not that far in front of us. We just can't let them get away from us. So over the next kind of three games, maybe it could decide what's going to happen for the next 23.
Yeah, just when you say players that could have been there, that was a John Martin game, wasn't it? To come off the bench and score like you done last year.
You can nearly forget who's on the bench. You're trying to think who can come on now and do something. He was
the super sub at times for us. Well, look, lads, I think we've probably gone through this one off for a 0-0 draw. This has gone on, which, as Niall says, probably says a lot about the state of where we are currently. Just thanks to everyone, I suppose, for all the comments, all the views in tonight. You know, numbers are rocketing up on the podcast of late. So thanks everyone for all the interaction. And thanks as always to Tony's Pizzeria for our pizza giveaway, PlayerFit for our merchandise, and of course Dundalk Village for our overall sponsorship, and Donal Green for that, for the podcast to keep it operational. Niall, thanks for jumping in as a super sub tonight.
No problem, always
really, really appreciate that. I suppose we got a bit of a break for a while, lads. We can enjoy that.
Bask in the glory.
Bask in the glory of a break. I'm in Tallaght Stadium tomorrow, so no break for me. Look, I suppose the fact that we have the break where we've finally kept a clean sheet, there's something to build on. Can that be the platform to kick on in these next crucial three games? Only time will tell, I suppose. And until that time, come on the town.